Thanks, Peter. Councillor Prentice, Deputy Lord Mayor Lee, ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. It is absolutely my pleasure to be here today and to present a profile on the Korean market and the golden opportunity that it is for Queensland. So as Peter mentioned, we have Council engaged the Economic Research Institute at Chumcheong KPMG in Korea to secure market intelligence on commercial opportunities in Korea, which will be made available to those participants who join with the Lord Mayor in the business mission to Korea. So with the theme of the 2009 summit being creative urban development, the question is what are the key initiatives planned and being undertaken by Korea in order to promote the growth of creative, innovative, sustainable, viable and livable cities? And how the unique personalities of the individual Korean cities and their residents reflected in urban development? Climate change and the depletion of natural resources is an old issue which requires new answers, while sustainability remains one of the greatest issues facing a city. So what then are the creative ideas and initiatives that Korea is pursuing in attempting to achieve that balance through renewable and non-renewable resources? The Samjong KPMG report attempts to answer these critical questions and also highlights some of the key opportunities for Queensland business. The Samjong KPMG report basically includes a general overview of South Korea. It also focuses on three core components, being firstly the Korean metropolitan cities of Seoul, Incheon and Daejeon. The second component is green energy technology, and the third, infrastructure projects. So I've been asked today to outline some of the key findings from the report and highlight some of the golden opportunities for Queensland businesses. Before I do that, however, let's set the scene. What does the Korean president actually think of the Australia and Korea relationship? Well, in his words, and this is only just 2 weeks ago, I quote, he said, we all know Korea and Australia has enjoyed a very close economic relationship and now believe it is time for us to upgrade this economic partnership up a notch. So one of the key objectives of President Lee's visit to Australia was to agree to commence official negotiations on an Australian-Korea FTA. But at the AKBC luncheon in Sydney, President Lee also confirmed that his government not only welcomed Australian investment into Korea, but actually strongly encouraged it. He actually singled out Macquarie as a successful and a really good example of successful Australian investment in Korea. So clearly we are entering into a new era of cooperation. But the question is it just cooperation or is it something more? So what do we know about Korea? Many of these stats will be known to you. But did you know that Korea is actually the sixth largest steel producer in the world? And when it comes to shipbuilding, Korea actually leads the world with 35% market share. Here's a few more stats. Korea is actually top in the world in the percentage of households with internet access, and top in the world for digital display, and third in the world for semiconductors. So, very impressive statistics. But they actually take on greater significance when you look at some of the green growth opportunities, which I'll touch on later in the presentation. So we've heard a number of times today already how Korea is a gateway to Northeast Asia. But what does that actually mean for us? Well, one quarter of the world's population actually lives in Northeast Asia, which generates one third of global GDP and two thirds of Asian GDP. Located between China and the world's second largest economy, Japan, Korea clearly provides a ready access to a huge market of over 2 billion people. Within a 3-hour flight of Seoul, 60 cities exist with over 1 million people. Here are some of the major Korean players, and among them there are some Fortune 500 companies: Samsung Electronics, LG, Hyundai Motors, POSCO. Many are active in Australia. And what about Australian companies in Korea? Well, again, here's a sample. So let's bring it back a little bit closer to home in terms of the Queensland-Korea trade. Korea, as Councillor Prentice, you mentioned, is Queensland's second largest growth export market, with annual trade of nearly $4 billion. And traditional resource sector exports account for more than 50% of that. But there are new export opportunities emerging, and these include goods and services exports and also knowledge-intensive exports. So moving on then to the market research report prepared by Samjong KPMG. Again, the first component deals with the three metropolitan cities of Seoul, Incheon and Daejeon. And I don't really plan to spend too much time on that today, particularly given the very comprehensive presentation by Brian Yu in relation to Incheon. The Samsung KPMG report actually provides an overview of each of the three key cities and outlines actually in some detail the key master planning strategies and the public transport development strategies in each of those cities. One which I will just touch on briefly is the digital media city being developed by the Seoul Metropolitan Government. So DMC is actually located 10 minutes from Gimpo Airport and 30 minutes from Incheon International Airport. It's part of a eco-friendly town which was established on what was previously a landfill for 15 years. The town also consists of the World Cup Stadium, the World Cup Park, and several other apartment complexes. And by 2013, DMC is expected to function as a centre of global high-tech industries with clusters of digital media content. So let's move on to the second component of the report, green energy technology. In August last year, the Korean president proposed a low-carbon, green growth as Korea's new economic vision. He presented green technology and renewable energy as a national development priority. It means abandoning its 60-year-old, long, manufacturing-based and export-oriented growth approach. The president stated that Korea will shift its growth paradigm to an environmentally friendly and energy-efficient one to both achieve sustainable growth and protect the planet. So in the following month of September last year, the government went further and announced that it will pump US $2.1 billion into research and development in nine promising green growth energy sectors over the next 5 years. The Korean government has grouped the nine energy sectors into two groups, as you can see on the slide. The first group is the near future growth engine, which includes solar power, wind power, LED, and power information technology. Given the global market is growing rapidly, and the fact that Korea is also advanced in these related industries, the government has made a clear decision to support the industrialisation of these four sectors. The second group is the next generation's growth engine, namely hydrogen fuel cell, clean fossil fuel technologies, and energy storage. The global market potential for these is still great, and technology advantage is imminent. And accordingly, the government plans to provide ample R&D and development research funds. So in order to promote and induce private investment in these nine energy technologies, the Korean government plans to introduce preemptive measures designed to create demand in the public sector. These policies are outlined in the slide and include the introduction of either mandatory regimes and or subsidies across power generation, fuel, public buildings and private buildings. The proposed ratios and percentages for 2012-2020 are outlined in detail in the report. Also outlined in the report are market creation measures planned across each of the nine sectors. And one example in the wind power sector is a plan for the government to establish a wind farm in the strong wind regions of Jeju Island. The Korean government expects these policy measures to generate significant growth of green energy industry and has announced some very, of what can only be described as, impressive growth forecasts. If we look at the green energy industry production, and these are for the nine sectors, It's expected to increase from 1.8 billion in 2007 to 17 billion in 2012 and 300 billion in 2030. The graph also outlines the anticipated growth in market share from 1% in 2007 to 5% in 2012 and a staggering 13% in 2030. The employment figures aren't actually captured in this graph, but the policy measures are expected to generate over 100,000 jobs in 2012, which is up from 9,000 in 2007, and by 2030 it's expected it will generate over 1.5 million jobs. So the growth forecast clearly looks aggressive and appears aggressive, particularly given domestic technology level of green energy is probably 50 to 85% of that of developed countries. However, considering Korea's world's best level in semiconductors, in LCD, in IT, in machinery industry, future development of green energy technology may not be that far away. Also, as Korea is the 10th largest energy consumer in the world, there is huge market potential for green energy sectors in Korea. Furthermore, two of the largest shipbuilders in the world, both Korean, have actually announced that they plan to offset the downturn in the shipbuilding by entering new industries, among them wind power. So when we look at these growth forecasts, I think it's important to remember that the Koreans have a track record of achieving the targets that they set for themselves. Now finally, just before moving on and leaving the growth outlook, this is the expected production in 2030, this $300 billion figure and how it's broken down. And as you can see, solar power features quite predominantly. So what about the opportunities for Queensland businesses? For green energy sectors, the government is ultimately expected to require local equipment be installed on government-supported businesses. However, import dependency on parts and materials is inevitable in the near future, and foreign investment is required. Considering Korea's technology level, there are a number of opportunities and possible cooperation types for Queensland companies, including joint R&D, technology transfer, strategic alliance, and potentially M&A, of course, depending on the sector, as is outlined in the table. Clean coal technology is also one area which has great potential to provide a win-win for Australia and Korea, given on the one hand Australia's comparative advantage in this sector, and given that Korea is the second largest importer of coal. A detailed analysis of seven of the green energy sectors, including market potential, the key players, the key websites, and the opportunities for Queensland businesses, is outlined in detail in the report. So moving on to the third component of the report, infrastructure projects. Private participation in infrastructure, PPI, was first introduced in Korea in August 1994, and since then, there's been significant expansion of the Act. Over 44 infrastructure facility types across 15 sectors are now eligible for PPI, and all types of implementation schemes can now be applied within the Act, including build, transfer, operate, which is commonly used for roads, ports and subways, and the build, transfer, lease scheme for schools, welfare facilities, cultural facilities, etc. And as can be seen in this graph, in 2008, the private sector investment made up actually 64% of the 39 SOC PPI projects. And this proportion is expected to increase to 74% by 2010. As can be seen on this graph, roads actually have attracted the highest total amount, of $15.6 billion of private investment when compared to other sectors. But however, harbours, the harbour projects have attracted the highest ratio of private investment when you compare it to the total investment. Again, the Sumjong KPMG report includes a detailed analysis of the 7 most eligible sectors, being roads, rail, tunnel and bridge construction, airports, port, water management and urban development. And the analysis includes an overview of each sector, the status of the key projects, details of the major players, and case studies on actual projects, like the one here for the Incheon International Airport Expressway. So let's talk about urban development. Public offerings for urban development projects are expanding, and which has resulted in more balanced development, improvement of the urban environment, and more innovative and livable cities. In 2003, pre-economic zone status was designated for the first time. We've heard about Incheon, and since then there have been 5 others, as you can see on the slide. So what are the infrastructure opportunities? Well, in 2009, the Korean government will give priority SOC projects to provide economic stimulus and drive efficiency improvements. In 2009, SOC budget is $24.7 billion US, which is actually up 26% on 2008. In 2009, 73% of SOC budget is actually designated for infrastructure, including roads, rail and ports. Clearly, Korea needs to continue to build world-class infrastructure in order to shape the country into a logistics hub of Northeast Asia. Again, the Samjong KPMG report lists all of the SOC projects currently issued by way of public offering across roads, rail, tunnel, bridges, water and sewage disposal, and also urban development. And just on this point, I stress that it is actually quite interesting, because it can be quite normal in the Korean market for operators to be, if you like, determined even before the public offering is announced for a project. And therefore, it's absolutely critical for foreign companies to establish good working relationships with local governments, with the key Korean players on the ground across the sectors, where they can get in early and get in often around what your value proposition is and how you can what your credentials are. And in that regard, if you're going to Korea, I highly recommend that you link in with Matthew Kung from the Queensland Trade and Investment Office, Martin Walsh, the Senior Trade Commissioner with AusTrade, and his Senior BDM, Charles Kung, are also excellent contacts to have on the ground in Korea. So before I conclude, I'd like to just touch on the Green New Deal project. I'm sure you've heard about this. This was announced by President Lee only 2 months ago. It includes 9 core projects and 27 related projects. It'll include a spend of about $38 billion and is looking to generate almost 1 million jobs over the next 4 years. It includes the development of Korea's 4 major rivers, including the Han River, the Gyeongin Canal project comes under this Green New Deal, as a plan for green transport networks and green car and green energy. Without doubt, there will be opportunities for Queensland business around this Green New Deal project. So let me conclude. What is clear in this economic climate is that Korea is generating policies and initiatives designed to stimulate their cities' economies and create a greener and a greater standard of living for their residents. The can-do attitude that we've become so familiar with here in Brisbane is alive and well in Korea. Remember that Koreans do have a track record of achieving the targets that they set for themselves. It's not just talk, they're actually getting things done. Golden opportunities most certainly exist in Korea for Queensland businesses in what promises to be a new era of cooperation, investment and trade between the two countries.